CliffCentral.com.
Do you feel sad, empty, and hopeless most of the day, nearly every day? Have you lost interest in your hobbies or the company of friends and family? Are you having trouble sleeping, eating, or functioning? Well, depression is a mood disorder that causes distressing symptoms that affect how you feel, think, and handle daily activities. Given the situation in Zimbabwe where a lot of people go through absolute poverty, failed economic reform programs, limited public health services, widespread private and traditional healthcare services, strained cultural diversity, and sex inequality, depression is just a given. And the fact that as a society we haven't come to learn and tackle depression the right way, this makes it worse with a lot of cases attributed to superstition and myth. Welcome to another episode of the Gilmore T Vibe. We are on CliffCentral.com every Friday. So please join us and let's talk them. According to a research done by V. Patel, M. Abbas and O. at the University of Zimbabwe Medical School, depression is one of the most important causes of morbidity and disability in developing countries. In an African context, many do not believe that depression is an actual condition that has led to a lot of suicidal cases, abuse of drugs and alcohol, amongst many other negative occurrences. On today's show, we talk to Zimbabwean hip-hop act Indigo Saint, who talks a lot about young people, alcohol, depression, and suicide in his music. Kudakwashe Kunzekwe Guta, a young lady who started off her organization, Women Association of Survivors, known as WAS, after going through a depression phase in her life. Together, they will share on how they moved from a dark place and using that to strengthen others, but above all, giving themselves strength. My name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen, and you are listening to the Gilmore T Vibe here on Cliff Central. Let us talk Zim. This past week in politics, so former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's ice cream has finally melted. He was relieved off duty this week, with the reason cited being disloyalty and conduct inconsistent with his official duties. You saw that, right?
Yes.
Or you read about it?
I read about it.
Actually, in a statement by the Minister of Information, Media and Broadcasting Services, Ambassador Simon Kayamoyo, he stated that he has demonstrated little probity in the execution of his duties. And that word actually just made a buzz on social media. What does that actually mean?
Google says it's the quality of having strong moral principles.
Okay.
Honesty, decency, probity.
So it's actually the same thing as disloyalty and conduct of inconsistency.
Well, suppose disloyalty is disloyalty. The word was doing rounds. Probity, new, I suppose. The whole statement of firing a VP, very brief, like, you're firing a shelf picker or something.
But then what are the implications then on our Zimbabwean politics? Looking at the current 2008 elections coming around the corner, where do we stand? What does it mean when this happens?
Well, not really much, because personally for Mnangagwa as an individual, didn't have a lot of favor, except for maybe people from his region, which is the Masvingo region, because that's where he comes from, that's where he gets a lot of his support, I suppose. But for Matabele land, it was a tricky situation for him, even seemingly uttered a statement, after that, and mentioned Joshua Nkomo, which angered a lot of other people, because people are saying, after orchestrating in the 80s, the whole Kukuraundi massacres, and then suddenly you think you can come and lead us. I'm sure he's not wanted down south here in Matabele land. He's not wanted up there where they fired him. But then again, it's in politics. You never know what's going
to
happen.
No, it's just fascinating. But, well, let's see what happens. We just all have to just go register and vote in 2018 as citizens of Zimbabwe, right?
Yeah.
So that's the least we can do.
At least.
That's the least we can do. And in society, Stewart Bank is being taken to court. Apparently, they employed about 92 or hundreds of employees with contracts that say that they are volunteers while they're actually doing work like proper people that are employed.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's funny, I was actually at an Econet shop and I saw an advert saying in 2 days time, 20 to 36 million people are actually slaves around the world, and 36 million is a population of Canada. So basically, yeah, I mean, and they were saying you need to go to slaveryfootprint.org to check your slavery footprint. When you support certain companies and, you know, businesses, you're actually supporting slavery of people in this day and age.
Stewart Bank is a slavery company?
Well, if you're going to be calling people volunteers when they
actually working,
that has to count as a form of slavery.
But also, I have a problem with Stewart Bank in terms of, it's a lot of other things, in terms of just their service delivery. Econet, per se, the entire company, they keep introducing these many things. Right now, they are buzzing us with messages every single day of our lives because they have new products after new products, and they are not improving on the current existing products that they have.
Well, Econet is a very big company. It's more successful out there than it is in Zim, right? I'm not saying they are justified to do what they're doing. They should really up their game.
Yeah, they need to.
But sometimes I think also the regulations that they applied to them from the government side are actually limiting.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the time when Econet was really ready to put in 3G, and yet through the government it couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be allowed, and we're just able to text and, you know, those kind of regulations. But yeah, when it comes to Stewart Bank, I think Stewart Bank really need to,
need to
a lot of people are suffering, people's monies are disappearing in pieces and pieces in a way that I don't understand.
But that's what Econet does to you. Your money disappears, your ATM disappears.
Your ATM disappears. And the messed up thing about it, again, is people do not know, ordinary people do not know how to go about claiming that money.
Exactly.
You know, going in there and fighting for their money to come back. Yeah.
No, interesting take. And we're moving right ahead in sports. A British-based Warriors stars Tendai Darikwa, Admiral Muskwe, and Mukale Bond touched down at the Harare International Airport on Monday. According to Newsday, the British Bond trio came in for the Warriors' two international friendly matches against Lesotho in Maseru and Namibia in Windhoek on Saturday, which is tomorrow, where they're expected to make their debut for the senior team. I hope they're actually going to bring some skills to improve on our national team, because we've been lagging behind many times in all sports, rather many sports, rather.
Well, from where skills? I mean, is this an import? What are we doing?
We're importing these guys. They're playing in the UK and they're coming down here because they are Zimbabweans.
So I think we exported them if they are Zimbabweans and they're just coming back to
we imported them because they are. Wait, they exported themselves.
Foreign, you can get a foreign coach, you can't get a foreign player.
But they are British-based, no?
British-based, yeah. Well, they play in clubs there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think also in Africa, we need to get over this. As long as somebody comes from Europe or the Americas, they are going to bring something better. I mean, I think African football or African sport is a totally different dynamic. Yes, other continents out there and other countries are way ahead of us technically and in a lot of things, business-wise and all that. But African football is its own thing. African sport is its own thing. We just need to cultivate our own and make sure they are well-seasoned and well-done. And will excel.
But you know, when you come from the UK, from the USA, it's like you've come with a sea of water full of promises for the entire nation. So obviously everyone is excited that they're here and they're expecting them to do well. If they don't do well, then they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, definitely. But well, we'll see. Let's not put too much pressure on them. This is Zim. A lot of people can't take the pressure here. So let's basically allow them to play, see how they fare. Maybe we might consider calling back everybody else out there.
But anyway, all the best to the Warriors this Saturday. We're looking forward to seeing what they will actually produce.
Definitely. It's been a long time since we were really jovial because of the Warriors.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And in entertainment, Nigerian superstar Davido will be coming to perform in Zimbabwe this December or end of November. Actually, this December. I don't know how people are going to take this because, you know, in October he cancelled his concert after it was reported that he was picked by Nigerian police and they were questioning him in connection with the death of his friends, Nigerian Juju.
So he's the guy who killed somebody.
Apparently they're saying he killed somebody or he killed some of his friends, so they were questioning him and then he had to cancel his trip to Zimbabwe, but now he's coming in December to perform.
And Zimbabweans bear grudges. We don't forget stuff.
So you think they won't attend?
Well, I mean, he's got a huge following, Davido, locally.
Yeah, he does.
I'm sure, people might give it a second chance because he does have a following. Mm-hmm. We might get a couple of disgruntled people, but largely, I'm sure, December also being a festive time,
it's going to be hectic.
It's going to be hectic.
But the question is, was he actually connected to the killing of his friends?
Where Juju's involved, you can't know.
But you know, in Nigeria, apparently there is extreme Christianity and there's extreme Juju. So I wonder where he actually falls in. apparently. Okay.
Maybe he's Islam, because you also have a lot of Muslim followers out there. Yeah.
But anyway, we don't know much about his whole killing people.
Let's see, maybe he can use the Juju to call people to the concert.
You are ridiculous. As you know, that Miss World Zimbabwe Chiesa Moshe is appealing for votes ahead of Miss World Finals to be held in China. So, again, we're in this phase as Zimbabweans. Last week, we're talking about voting and young people. So, possibly...
She's appealing for votes for what?
She wants to make it to the finals.
Okay. Yeah, not elections.
Not elections. She doesn't want to contest an MP. Well, of course, they're beauty with brains, but I don't know.
I'm not going to say anything to that. I think, we should vote, mm-hmm. I suppose. Support our own.
Yeah.
Try and get out there as much as we can. Because mm-hmm. I believe Zimbabweans are well deserving of a lot of...
They are
accolades out there, and we actually have the capacity as people psychologically, and everything. We just don't get exposed a lot, also because we're Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
maybe sanctions, I don't know what it is, but we should vote.
Right, let's go vote and support her. You are still listening to the Gilmore TV Vibe here on Clip Central, so let's talk Zim. So, let's talk depression and existing in that space and how one can move forward from such a space. Joining me in studio are two young Zimbabweans that have gone through depression in different forms, but chose to thrive through and be a voice to many through the work that they are currently doing. So welcome hip-hop act Indigo Saint, and also the founder of Women Association of Survivors, Kudakwashe Kunzekwe Guta.
Thank you, Gilmore.
It's good to have you guys here.
It's nice to be here.
All right, we're dropping things in studio. That's fine.
Yeah.
Indigo, your musical project, The Blunt EPs, actually, led you to being listed on MTV Base as one of the top 10 hip-hop acts in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I was, really humbled by that because, I guess, it was one of those things where, because I decided to speak about something that was a bit alternative, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That there was other people also realizing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the project was inspired by my late friend. I had a friend, her name was DT, and so she, we were really close, and she was one of the happiest people that I knew, you know. But then, you know, things got in the way, and she committed suicide. So.
Oh man, so rest in peace, though.
Yeah, I'm sure she's in a better place, you know.
It's a lot to take in when you have that experience as an individual, no?
True. It was different this time around, because when I was writing that project, mm-hmm. I tried to depict what her last moments were and where I was within her last moments too, you know. And I felt like it was something that was so unnecessary, because had I, say, maybe been a better friend, or say the friends that we shared, if we had all been like, say, better people towards her, maybe like she'd still be around, you know. But it's totally different now when it's like, now when you're going through it yourself, you know what I mean? It's like, not that I understand exactly how she felt, but I kind of understand the energies that are surround that, well, that contains.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get back to you just now. I mean, that's a very interesting topic. Kulakwashe, so you went through such an interesting journey as an individual. At a young age, you went into a marriage, abusive marriage, and you went through some whole lot of depression thoughts. Just take me through that process and how you just moved from that space to where you are right now.
To be honest, people say marriage is a beautiful thing, right?
And it is sometimes.
They also say love is blind. Yes, I was blinded by love because everything was so normal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Though there were red flags here and there, but I thought love could conquer all. But one thing that I learned in that process is you get to be in that moment of depression because at times you let it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're not talking to people about it. You're trying to protect your reputation at some point. Does lead you to those moments, those dark moments that you cannot even move from. But I would like to thank my family. They really helped me so much. It wasn't easy for them as well, but you know, with God as well, it really helped so much because I at some point felt that I really needed to drink. I craved for whiskey. I know some people will be like, really? I really did crave for whiskey, like strong whiskey.
I think
not even in a glass, like in a proper bottle.
The entire bottle.
Yeah, the entire bottle. Mm. But I told myself, the inner me was like, Kuda, it's not that time that you need whiskey. Mm. I worked in a shop. I worked into Pick and Pay. I bought a Bible. Yeah, I know it's crazy.
So you bought a Bible instead of buying the whiskey?
Yes.
So that was like your remedy per se?
Yes.
Ah.
It really helped me a lot because I also come from a Christian family. What I can say is I was a Christian because my parents are bishops. I was only going to church because of that. But at that moment, I really thought I needed God. I also needed my family, the people that love me. Because on my own, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's so difficult for you because a lot of things change. Your appetite, the things that you used to like. And you also become stigmatized. You don't want to be around people. Mm-hmm. You feel like you just need to be alone in a closed room, which is dark. So, yeah.
You touched on red flags. Indigo, looking at you with your friend passing on, you mentioned that. Were there any sort of like red flags that you sort of like?
They were. Mm-hmm. They were. There was a time I was with her at school and we were with some friends and we were drinking and everything was fine.
Drinking then, at school?
Yeah, I mean like, well, not at school.
Like, I'm like, what?
I mean like, okay, maybe some context. We're at Tux, we're at UP.
You were drinking at school.
True. But, you know, it's like after, you know, it's like campus is kind of closed and so I'm walking her back home and she had an anxiety attack. And this was, for me, it was like the first time seeing something like this. And she was like really like agitated and she started scratching herself. And I saw this, but I'm not trained, you know. Yeah. So not that I'm trained now or, you know, but this was like something that was there. It was indicative. Mm-hmm. And after she tried like several times also before she was like successful, like taking her own life, she had tried. I think twice also before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it happened, it's like, okay, let me talk to this person. Let me find out if they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you speak to them, but then to some extent, they've overcome it, but they haven't truly, like, you haven't got to, like, to a point where you can fix this person,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because you don't know what it is that you're trying to fix, and neither do they, you know, and neither do they. It's you know, sometimes, like, someone will say, oh, dude, why are you depressed? And it's like, I don't know, dude, I just am, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't know what the exact cause is. You don't know where it stemmed from. You just feel it there.
All right. But talking about depression, what are the myths around depression locally here in Zimbabwe? Because we have a lot of psychological issues associated with witchcraft and superstition in general.
Mm.
So what is it like here locally?
I think, like, the stigma is that you're weak. You know, it's like, you know, everyone goes through things.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, okay, just because you react to something differently doesn't mean everyone else does too, you know. And also amongst young people, it's like, it's almost it's almost expected of you to do what everyone else is doing, because it's the norm, you know. It's the norm. So who are you to come with your feelings which you haven't dealt with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Louis is nodding on the side. What are your thoughts around that, Tom?
Most of these things, I think, stem from, you know, this social templates that we've made. Like, you know, Indigo mentions one myth is you're weak, because we come from a society that says if you're a man, you behave in this way.
Mm.
You know, so nobody's willing to look at each person's unique, you know, characteristic. You are just supposed to fit within a template. And I'm realizing as they are speaking is that a lot of this stems from most of the daily social practices or social things we come across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like there's somebody who's born, like, no, this person's born, liable to suffer a depression.
Mm-hmm.
This can happen to anyone depending on what they are going through and how much it's given attention, how much, because we're not trained, like Indigo mentions,
mm-hmm.
we're not trained, so we don't have the know-how to get into a problem and know how to easily circumvent that, get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't have that support around you, support structures, you know, it's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to affect you psychologically. It's going to drain you on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm. And Kuda, what was expected of you though in that space? You are a married woman, so what were expectations?
Like Twa said, you know, society defines us a lot. They believe that if you're a married woman, whatever happens, you have to stand for it, because marriage is like a rose. It's beautiful, but it does have thorns. So if the thorns prick you, you'll be like, ouch, but then all you see is the beauty of the rose.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, I tried talking to my friend about it, because I really felt like if society doesn't allow me to call it quits, I might as well just kill myself. I really had suicidal thoughts.
Mm.
And my friend laughed about it. She was like, no, it's one of those things. She didn't take it seriously. Then I tried talking to another friend. She told me to pray about it. Then I talked to my cousin. I was like, can I come over to your place? She was like, it's fine. I told her that I'm going through a rough period. She was like, no, it's fine. But when I told my mom, it was one of those things, no, it's going to pass. They don't really believe that depression is there.
So is this like an African thing?
Yes.
Say,
yes. Depression, depression is not there.
Mm.
Yes. To them...
Like, okay, sorry to
He just cut you.
Yeah, to cut. I think also because as a people, we haven't gotten to a point of you know, looking at things, the valuable things in life, and dealing with the things we should be dealing with. You know, it becomes an African thing to say that to somebody, all the while oppressing them, because we haven't decided collectively. Of course, there's no way of deciding collectively, but as a society, that, you know what, we need to deal with some of these things. These things don't just come out of nowhere. You know, a young woman is going to suffer in a marriage, and they're going to be subjected to that sort of experience because, you know, we haven't decided, you know what, a marriage is not a man's choice. Man doesn't just come and decide, I'm going to marry you, case closed, you have no say. I think it's high time we make those decisions. Like, a marriage is the choice between a woman and a man. A woman has much right and power within that marriage to decide, you know what, this is not working for me. As long as things don't happen in this A, B, C, D, I'm out.
But then, Twa, when you actually leave your marriage because things are not working, then society again views you and says you're a weak person. Or where should they go to keep their marriage together?
Yeah, but I think first and foremost, as individuals, we need to stop worrying about society. Society is always going to speak whether you do good or bad. People are always going to say something. And if you let those things as an individuals get to you, you will make the decisions that don't come from you, that come from what you assume people expect of you. And that's really a bad, you can't be in anybody else's mind to know what they expect of you. You know, so it's very important for people to be true to themselves first.
I think it's like when, like, the stigma that's attached to that, when it sticks, I think that's what people fear, like, the most. And see, okay, then tomorrow, these people who are in my community are going to think of me in this particular way. And these are the things that come attached with that. Maybe you start losing, like, friends or people that you used to hang around with. Or, you know, you're not as valuable a member, say, as you are, maybe, say, in the community, say, as small as, say, a church. You know, it's like all of these stigmas, I think these are the things that, like, I think for one, like, young people don't acknowledge. And see, like, we stigmatize each other. So we might call it judging, you know, that's what they say. And some, don't judge me, you know, but I think it's like really what we're creating when you're judging someone is that stigma. And that's what lasts, I think, like, longer.
So I just feel like as a community, we need to have an open conversation about issues of depression. It's suicidal thoughts, basically, amongst ourselves, because it's things that exist. But then if we can't just ignore and think, oh, we've got other bigger issues to worry about. These are issues that are causing us to have so many deaths happening around our communities, and young people abusing alcohol and drugs, right?
I've said this before. It's unfortunate we live in a country whose government has neglected its responsibility to educate its people. Health-wise, politically, economically, you know, we should, as Zimbabweans, be educated about these things from as early as primary school. Grade one, grade two, people should be able to understand, my friend is not well today, what's wrong? Let me go and speak to a parent. Let me go tell my mom. Let me go tell the teacher. You know, I don't think my friend is not their normal self today. You see, so some of these things should also come from out there. It's not only an individual's responsibility. Yes, my responsibility first as an individual is to myself.
But then, are we talking about education? So it means that our education system is not really that much put together, because how many of us can identify that one of us is actually is actually depressed or is going through something?
It's a difficult thing, but you can see. I mean, you can tell if I mean, as people, Indigo mentioned when he mentioned earlier his friend, that he wishes he could have been a better friend. I think this is a practice as individuals we should also have every day. Always aim to be better people to the people around us. to be better friends, to be better brothers, sisters, and things like that. It will help. You're paying that much attention to somebody to realize, you know what? Today something's wrong. Are you well? Mm-hmm. What could be going on? Sometimes people don't want to talk. Mm-hmm. You understand your friend better. You know what? They don't want to talk. Let me give them some time, but let me be around.
I think being around is actually more important. Mm-hmm. Like just being present.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't need to say something. You might offend the person. Mm-hmm. But when you're around, eventually they'll warm up to you possibly and they'll start talking about it. Kuda, you keep nodding like so. You have like so much pumping into your head.
I want to add on what Indigo said, like, you know, the stigma from the society, it also affects even, like, me, for example, when I was in my marriage, the perpetrator, okay, I would like to call him, like, the perpetrator, yeah.
Jargon.
He used to tell me that no one is going to love me, you know, I was now damaged goods, so no one would understand me, no one would believe me, because outside there, trust me, he was down to earth. You'd be like, wow, this is a good guy.
But that's what everybody does, especially people that abuse others.
Exactly. So now, with me, it was going back home, what are my parents going to say, what's, like, the society, and himself, he was like, Ufumbang Mabuye Wendin. You know that title that you cannot be called a divorcee. Yeah, like me at my age, I'm now a divorcee. That title. So I thought to myself, no one's going to love me. The society is going to say A, B, C, D about me. You know, I just felt alone. I felt that I was not worth it. Like he said. So it's when depression comes in now. And you cannot fight it. Because he's telling you this, then the society is going to say this. Because with the society, we are assuming, right?
Yeah, it's what is even an assumption sometimes.
Yeah. So it's you assuming. So now it depends on how you're going to assume how bad it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And my family, you know, my dad, he's a bishop. I tried doing the right thing, but going back home, it's not okay. So at the end of the day, you just think, no, taking my life, I think it's going to be easy on everyone. My family, they're not going to be disgraced, you know, because it's all about the status. Even this guy, he told me no one's going to love me because I'm damaged goods. Like, the thought that I have always had is, I'm not damaged goods. No one's going to love me. But the moment that someone saw that I was going through that phase, this other lady, she also went through the same thing. So I think she really picked up some stuff. So we talked about it. Then she was like, you know what? No matter how good he is, you know, in bed, and there's other things, you really have to leave. Don't stay, you know. Then I told her, I tried talking to my mom, but she couldn't understand. And then she was like, I'll go with you. She went with me to my mom. Then she was like, if you want your daughter alive, you'd rather take her now.
Yeah.
You know. So she tried talking to my mom up until my mom was like, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I tried.
So sometimes people around us are not listening, I guess.
Yeah.
Or we are not paying attention to these things when they're happening.
Exactly. So I think what he was saying, that we should pay attention, you know, around those people, because I might look happy because I don't want you to know, because I cannot just tell you. You'll be like, are you okay? Then I'll be like, I'm fine. But when you try, you should keep on trying. I start opening up, because it's not easy. Because at the back of my mind, I'll be like, if I am going to share my story, most probably he's going to laugh at me. Because I've had a lot of people saying, after they hear stories that someone committed suicide, really, that's a useless thing. But the honest truth is, things will be building up.
Yeah.
Then that little thing that people are going to hear of, it's the thing that's going to spark. But deep down, you know, things will be building up and you don't really have someone to talk to and all.
I like that you mentioned the church. Where is the church? We have so many churches in Zimbabwe. What role does the church play? Tarelo, I mean, you're a pastor, I think. Are you a pastor? Or you should be a pastor because you always preach good words.
Yeah.
What's the role of the church? What's the role of everybody else, especially the church, because there's so many of them in this, our country?
Unfortunately, you know, the church today, you know, is a very touchy subject. I think we should have an episode on the church. You know, yeah, I mean, the church today is evolved into something else that also in itself does not pay attention to the people that gather there all the way. Mm. You know, if an institution has an agenda, I totally believe these human-created institutions do not serve people. Religious institutions, educational institutions, the way I've grown up and been a part of my society, if anything, they've only excelled in keeping people ignorant about real things. Because the church should really play a huge role. There's people there, there's that you go counseling, you speak to, and so the church should be in a position to educate itself about all the things that affect its members. You know, educate the possibilities. We're living in tough times in Zimbabwe. You know, and so because of that, people will go through a lot of things. And a church is one of those places that people will readily go to looking for salvation. You don't want to get to a point where you now believe prayer is not enough. I've prayed, but you know,
sometimes it's not working.
It's not working. It's a waste of my time. You know, that kind of thing. As a person, you get to that point. You get to that point, and all because you are getting there, and you're still by yourself. In that building with thousands of people nowadays, they fill buildings in their thousands.
Fill dorms.
And yet you are still alone.
So, you know, maybe their mandate is actually not to pay attention to people's welfare. It's about the money and who's bringing in the money in the church.
Unfortunately, nowadays, it's not just a church. We point a finger at the church, but it's all round. It's all round. I mean, you go to the police station and you're a man, you're being beaten by your wife, they'll laugh at you. You know, those kind of things. You know, so it's one of those issues. Women go through a lot out there. A lot of men as well go through a lot because of this thing that be a man. Man is this. You know, from young men to, you know, grown men, all people, all genders go through a lot because all these institutions that are there to serve people are actually taking advantage of people and depriving from people.
That's really sad.
It's like one of those things that stem from like even like a young age. I remember hearing boys don't cry.
Exactly.
So now I'm this adolescent teen going through things, but then as difficult as it is, I can't really express how I'm feeling.
Exactly.
So I can't say oh, this is really crushing me, this is crushing my soul, it's crushing my spirit, what should I do, I'm weak. I can't really express how I'm feeling. You know. And I think that's why like sometimes I think like sharing is like such an important thing, because when you share and someone gets it, see, like two people might not make a community, but three do. You know. So now when we'll say a community of like people who like understand these things now, we can help each other like move. So I think it's that thing of like identifying. We can only identify through like sharing and being like open and honest. So, okay, you know what? Regardless, as you're saying, right? Like regardless, people will judge.
Yeah, they will always talk.
People will always say whatever they want to say. Like I'm Catholic, and I've seen like one of the things that's like a recurring thing with church is fear. You know, it's like okay, like so, if I commit suicide, I'm going to hell. Like there's no maybe because things were tough. No, dude, if you take your own life, you're going to hell.
He's close in the discussion.
So it's like, so now imagine like say that family now, you are at church, it's hard, you've been feeling suicidal, but you know, like, this thing has been instilled in you, and like, but if you kill yourself, you're gonna go to hell. But then the current moment you're living is that hell that they're saying you're going to go to.
So you're literally in the hell there.
So it's just an endless cycle. And that's what I think, that's what kills like people the most, is like how much you think about it. It's like if you sit and you think, like say maybe, because you know, suicidal thoughts, maybe it's like you feel for 15 seconds, like, okay. But then sometimes it extends that period. Sometimes it's the entire day you've been trying to talk yourself out of it. Not that you've been thinking about killing, you're like, I have things to do.
Yeah.
You know, or let me find something to do. You know?
And also, you mentioned, you know, this kill yourself, go to hell. Try and imagine how it is for somebody who's tried and they didn't die in the end. Maybe they've tried a couple of times, living within a family that is that religious. Try and understand how, imagine how somebody could be going through everyday scoldings. You know, what are you trying to do to this family? Where it's not really about the family, but because people in a family setting are concerned about how they are viewed in church.
Exactly.
You know, every day you could be getting, what are you trying to do? Do you think it's about you? What are you trying to do to the family? What are you trying to get the church to view us as? You know, so as opposed to, you know, there's an issue here. This is why we're at this point.
Exactly.
How can we help? How can we, you know, come in on the, you know, it's really
sad. That's sad. Because now it becomes about we and the family, but it's not about the individual who's going through
exactly
a lot of shit.
It's true.
Yes. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about how then you moved away from that dark space to what you're doing now, Kuda.
Like I said, the moment I opened up to that lady, it really helped me a lot, and it helped my family realize. So I think you should surround yourself with the people that love you, the people that are not going to judge you, and also speak out, share. Because it's not like I recovered, like, okay, fine, I'm not okay. I had my moments.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah, there is a moment when I was like, I need to travel. Like, get some space and all. And my dad was like, I'm done with this, your whole thinging. If you want to kill yourself, go ahead, kill yourself.
No.
So I was like, it's fine. I feel like you don't love me, right? But my mom came. Then we started talking. You know, she told me all the good things about me. You know, she was like, you know, your dad has been going through a lot. He's trying to take it in that, you know, you're back home and this is what you're going through, blah, blah, blah. So that thing really made me realize that at least she does care. Someone cares. And my sister, little sister would come, you know, they would talk to me. I used to enjoy dancing, so they would come in my room, they'll be like, you know, let's dance. Yeah, at first, you know, you'd be all cranky, but yeah.
And so, now women, tell me a little bit about Women Association or Survivors. How that came about, because you were in that space and now there's a big project that you're working on.
Okay. It so happened that I started writing about everything that I went through in my marriage and even in my previous past when I was still a teenager. Basically, everything was around gender-based violence and there was depression inside. So I started writing. Then I launched my book. The title is Survivor. So from there, I realized that some people don't have a family, a loving family. Some people cannot even speak out because it's taboo to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Our society doesn't allow us. They say you learn in that marriage.
We should put an end to that, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought to myself, there are a lot of young women out there, or even elder women, our parents, they went through that, but the fact that society defined a woman as someone who has to endure the pain, mm-mm, no matter what. Mm-mm. So I wanted a different setup, a different society, a society that everyone's going to feel comfortable in. Your mm-hmm. no should be your no. No one has to judge you for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So was basically gives counseling and also empowers women, because other women are also scared of leaving their marriages because they depend on men.
Mm-hmm.
So we also empower women. We help them with projects, be it baking, hairdressing, and also that when you leave your marriage, you know you don't really have to go back because you need to depend on that abuser.
So, power to you, power to you. I like also, it's not also just about leaving your marriage, but it's also about empowering yourself as a woman and as a young person, like having other skills that you can indulge in terms of sustaining yourself and just, you know, being a good contributor to the society, I guess.
Yeah.
You took writing as a therapy, your music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I found the more honest I was about the things that I'd gone through, the better I started to understand myself. So I started to acknowledge, like, the things which are, like, the cracks in me, like, my faults, mm-hmm. you know? And because, like, I think you can only move forward from something once you realize, like, what's wrong first.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
And also, like, in doing that, like, with connecting, you know, when I shared this music, I put it out there. I said, okay, you know what? Here it is. It's for everyone. Mm-hmm. If you understand mm-hmm. it, you understand it. If you don't, maybe after you listen to it, maybe you will. Mm-hmm. You know? And, you know, from the people that I connected with after, it made me feel less alone. You know, like, there's people that I speak to, like, from, like, different, like, cities and stuff, and we've never met, but you know, with some people we've got like to the point where we even talk like on WhatsApp or we call each other once in a while, and it's like that thing where, you know, at 1 a.m. if I feel like I'm having a level 3 anxiety attack, you know, I can say, okay, you know what, let me call this person because I know they're also still up, you know, and so yeah, for me it was like really that. It was the therapy came from being honest and like first being honest with myself and all of my faults. And even like when I made this tape, you know, the reason why it's called the Blunt EPs is because, you know, blunt off it being honest for one. And then blunt also because blunt, like weed, you know. And I know a lot of
smoke weed?
I do.
All right. Is it even legal in Zimbabwe? So I don't know. You would know.
It should be legal in Africa.
It should be legal, but it's not legal.
It is legal somewhere where the police are not watching, as well.
Yeah. But you know, like, it's like this thing of, you know, with young people, it's like the fact of the matter is, young people smoke weed, young people drink lean, young people are dependent on alcohol, and the more we shy away from like acknowledging those things, we're also shying away from like the problems, like the reasons as to why, you know, as in why are you leaning? Like, why do you choose to be stuck the whole day from, I know kids, like they're my friends too, from 10 in the morning till 5 high the whole day. Right. But what are you escaping from?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you as an individual don't like see it, no one else can. You know, to everyone else, like when they see, you'll be seeing these kids and you're like, these kids who like getting high.
Yeah.
But then behind that, there's a story. Like there's a deeper reason why, you know, like maybe it's at home, you know, it's a single parent home, or they're the ones that like the entire family depends on, you know, So there's always like deeper like innuendos with everything, and I just think that like for once like we just need to get to a point where like we're honest with each other to say, okay, mm-hmm. like this is exactly what it is, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So you can come with your misconceptions, but at the end of the day, these things will still remain, you know, and they're things that still need to be like dealt with, you know.
Yeah, we need to talk about it. But what's the most highlight of what you're doing right now, your work, Women Association of Survivors? One thing, one story that you say, wow, this is amazing. I never knew I could do this.
One story is I helped someone.
Mm-hmm.
She's a relative. Her dad married her off when she was 20.
We need to talk about that too.
When she was 20, and the so-called husband is 34 years, and they're in the rural areas. So she told me her story, and I felt like justice has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her, what do you want? Do you love this man? She was mm-hmm. like, no, I don't love this man. I was forced to get married to him because I think the parents still believe in this thing that you cannot stand with a boy and talk to a boy.
So if you're seen, then you get married to the person.
Yes.
Ooh.
So even the brothers. So I was like, so how do you do it? You don't work. He's not working. So she was like, I go back home, tell them, you marry me off. I need ABCD. But she was like, I'm not happy because I used to work. Now I cannot even help my mom.
Mm.
So it's when she told me then I had to do a little things. Then now she's doing cutting and designing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The most important thing is how we draw inspiration from, not really inspiration, but what we learn when we go through these processes or these stages in our lives. What do we learn from that? And what can we give to others also to avoid them going through the same stages that we went through?
Yeah.
Your highest moment from people that inbox you, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I guess as much as possible, I try and not feed off like them. I try and feed off like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, so I take like small victories like in a day. So I'll say, okay, I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up today. So this is a new day for me to try new things. Mm-hmm. And just by me being like around still, it means that I have it's another 24 hours that I have now to share with somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
That's beautiful.
And, you know, like, you know, I can't say that I've spoken to someone and I've gotten them out of like a depressive state or
mm-hmm.
I've made them feel better. But I know like with time also, because I'm also still understanding what this is fully, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know with time and with the more people I meet, you know, it's like we met today, you know. It's like the more people I meet, the more energy you get.
Yeah.
You know.
So you feed off other people, you also. Know? Well, thank you very much, Kudakwashe Kunzekwe Guta and Indigo Seng, for coming through in studio and sharing your stories. I hope those that are at home and who are listening got inspired and they got something from your stories. So, I wonder what the political sphere in Zimbabwe is going to be looking like this coming week, seeing that there's a lot of changes that are happening right now in Zimbabwe. And also for those that like social media, I'm sure most of you saw the hashtag boyfriend allowance trending at number one, number two, number one throughout the week, where boyfriends are saying, if you are my girlfriend, you need to be able to pay me also and give me some money. The same way the boyfriends also gives their girlfriends money to do their hair, their nails. So why can't you as girlfriends do the same for us as the boyfriends? Interesting, yeah. Interesting times we're living in.
Very interesting times. The things that millennials get up to. Millennials.
Right. But, I mean, still, it's a valid point, because if you are able to give your girlfriend some cash, the girlfriends are also allowed to just pamper you with some cash and some things also.
I don't believe anyone should give anyone money.
So then we should cancel the whole hashtag boyfriends allowance.
Yeah.
Girlfriends allowance.
I mean, each and every person should work for their own money.
Yes, let us work for our money, so says Swarelo Mutobi. Thank you very much for joining me on the Gilmore Tea Vibe. Let's keep the conversation going on all social media platforms. Might it be your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram. The hashtag is GTEEVibe. Or you can also tweet me at GilmoreTEE and of course at CliffCentral.com. So we've got some news next week. We have a new slot. It's 2 p.m. every Friday and we're extremely excited that we'll be sharing more information with you next week. And we'll be talking more about Zimbabwe and what's happening in the country. My name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen, signing out with something rare, something fresh. Here we go.
Depression is such a hard thing because everyone, your family, your friends, they think you're doing it to them. You know, I was never doing it to them. I was doing it to myself. You know, I can be a very destructive person. But it was always to myself, you know. It was always to hurt me more. Never to hurt them. CliffCentral.com